evening. It's good to see each and every one of you guys out tonight. All right, let me just read our passage once again. We'll open in prayer, and I just have a few questions for you tonight. Hopefully it won't keep you too long. Great idea of God's will for our lives. James 4, 13 through 17 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live. We will do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." There was a prayer, and maybe Paul, you could tell me if this is right or wrong. I found this prayer, and at least at one point in time, this was a prayer of West Point. I don't know if that would still be the case or not, probably not today. But it just listen to the prayer, and then we will just open our time in prayer. "Make us choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong, and never to be contented with half truth when the whole truth can be won. Endow us with courage that is born of loyalty to all that is noble and worthy, that scorns to compromise with vice and injustice, and knows no fear when right and truth are in jeopardy." Brothers and sisters, John, brothers and sisters, truth is in jeopardy. Truth is in jeopardy. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Father, we do once again thank you that we can come together as a body, Lord, that we can come before the throne of grace and lay our request before you, Lord, knowing that full well that you have all these things in your control, that you were sovereign in all these things, that you knew the request before it was even asked. But Lord, you have asked us to show our dependence upon you in prayer. And Lord, I pray that that is what was accomplished already tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would just speak through the messenger, Lord. May I just be a mouthpiece tonight, Lord. I pray that as we review what was said on Sunday, Lord, I pray that it would just give our hearts the encouragement that we need, Lord, to know what your will is for our lives, and that where we will find it, and how desperately we need it in these days. Again, we just ask for your guidance and direction in all these things. It's in your Son's, the Lord Jesus Christ's most precious, most worthy name, the name above all names. Amen. I want to ask you, if you remember my illustration about the woman that kept throwing the stick up in the air to know where she should go, which path she should go down, and whichever way the stick pointed, she would go down that path. And one day the villagers saw her throwing the stick up multiple times because why? Yeah, she wanted to go down, not the right way, but the way she wanted it to go, right? Yeah, which I understood exactly what you were saying. So I want to first ask the question, what is the problem? What is the problem of being led by our passions and desires? Or in other words, led by our heart. What is the problem? Say again? Yeah. Yeah, our heart is definitely deceitful. Yeah. Listen to the words of John Wesley. He said, do not hastily ascribe things to God. Do not easily suppose dreams, voices, impressions, visions, or revelations to be from God. They may be from him. They may be from nature. They may be from the devil. And may I add, they may be from the bad sushi that you ate at lunch. And yet we find ourselves doing that very thing. The Lord wants me happy, right? The Lord absolutely wants me happy, right? Lord wants us to be holy. Right. There's a difference, right? There's a difference between joy and happiness. The scriptures often talk about joy and being filled with joy, and yet it also talks about suffering with Christ, suffering because of Christ, being under trial. I mean, look at the book that we're still in here. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of various kinds, because you know that these trials will test your faith and it will mature you and complete you so you don't lack anything as the man of God, right? But the problem is the heart wants what it wants. And oftentimes the heart, and I said that on Sunday, the heart wants to be happy. If you remember, I said on Sunday, I gave an illustration that when God bolts the door, don't try and go through the window. The will of God will never leave you never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I asked you, of course, a loaded question. Does God want us to be happy? Let me ask you another one. Do you think it's God's will to keep us in a hard situation? Do you think it's God's will to keep us in a hard circumstance? Do you think it's God's will that we should stay under trial? Say again? Yeah. Why would it not be God's will? From everything that we've been studying, think about this. How much of Joseph's life was what we would call not a happy life? In other words, that not exactly what he would have planned for his life. What about when we thought, like, as we read through the story of Joseph and we say, oh man, here comes a good part. Here comes the part where God takes him from the jail because let me get this right. The cupbearer is going to remember Joseph, right? Because he's going to get restored and he's going to get out of jail and he's not going to spend very little time in jail because of that. And what happens? He forgets him. I think it's like, what, 2 or 3 more years that he spends in prison. And we're not talking about our prisons today. There are times, clearly, where God will keep you in the trial. There are times where God will keep you in the circumstance that you don't want to be in your heart because it's hard. And these are the times that we need to stop and be still and know that he is God. I said that on Sunday. Be still and know that he is God. Sometimes we need to stop trying to get out of the trial. Stop trying to get out of the circumstance. Stop saying, well, it would be so much easier if I could just get out of church. It would be so much easier if I didn't have to teach. It would be so much easier if I didn't have to, you fill in the blank. Yeah, and sometimes we just have to sit in the trial, right? And trust him. Trust that he is going to see us through it. The grace of God will see us through the trial. He's not going to put you anywhere that his grace will not see you through it. Please do not miss that point. His will for your life might take you through suffering. We talked about it at the end there. What is the will of God? And we went through all these Bible verses. This is the will of God. Sanctification. This is the will of God, that you be godly and holy. This is the will of God. And we went right down the lines that sometimes for your sanctification, it means that you're going to go through trial and suffering. Amen. And basically, isn't that what James is kind of saying to us through this whole book? That by testing, you're going to know the genuineness of your faith, right? And you're going to know the will of God. And these things are for our benefit. I mean, again, we want the easy road. We want to, well, you know, I'm going to go here because it's just going to be easier. I'm going to go to the bigger church because I can kind of just sit back and relax and just be fed. I can go here and there. I mean, we have all the excuses in the world of why we should get out of a situation that might be just a little bit hard for us. And brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you to be still. Please be still in it. Be still and know that he is God. And he's not going to keep you anywhere that is too much for you. He will give you the grace to go through whatever you need to go through. Be careful allowing your heart to dictate what you think God wants for your life. This is where we're at. This is what James 4:13-17 is about planning our own lives without him. We live in one of the richer countries of the world. We want for nothing. Even the poorest among us really want for nothing. Even the poorest among us, I think, are still, we would consider it this top 97% of this world as far as riches. Who needs God? Who really needs God? Yeah, of course. Everybody needs him, but the problem is we get so comfortable. Because we have everything. Well, as long as I have my job, I can pay for this. I can get myself out of this. I can do this. I can go here. I can go there. I can make every plan that I want without him. As long as I'm happy. As long as that makes my heart feel good. As long as I feel good about it, right? But what... I already said it. What is the issue of verse 13? What was the main issue that we talked about? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Again, speaking about this merchant and what is he saying? He says, hey, whenever I feel like it, I will go here. I will spend this much time there. I will trade. I will make a profit. Again, very confident in himself that he's not only going to trade, but that he's going to make a profit too. What's the problem?
The Lord is not in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you don't see anything there, right? You don't see anything of the Lord in his plans. It's a very selfish plan. It's a very boastful, as I said, you know, and I will make a profit. How do you know? How do you know that it's going to be better, you know, if you don't like it here, how do you know it's going to be better there? If you don't like it in this job, how do you know it's going to be better at the next job? Are you on your knees before the Lord, showing dependence on him for it? We talked about the rich landowner in Luke 12. And you know, he thought to himself, you know, he had plenty, right? He thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. Was that true? Was it true? No, of course not. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns. So of course he had crop. He had plenty of space to put his crops. Or give away, right? And I'll build larger ones. I will store all my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And I ask you the question, who does that sound like in Scripture? Yeah. Yeah, I will ascend to the heavens. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And brothers and sisters, we do the exact same thing when we plan our lives without God, because we are saying, God, I do not need you. And we put ourselves in the place of God when we don't not just include him. We're not just including God in our plans. We are asking God to lead, God, and direct our lives, right? He has to be center. I'm going through, Lisa and I are going through marriage counseling with a couple, and I think they just, every chapter starts with, or ends with, you know, finances with Christ in the center, you know, boom, 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 with Christ in the center, conversation with Christ in the center, communication, everything is, and at the end it says, with Christ in the center, because brothers and sisters, as soon as we take Christ out of the center, it's going to fall apart. Everything, every aspect of our lives, our marriages, our jobs, our everything, our ministry, his ministry. We need to show our dependence on our Lord. Many of you actually came up and asked me what that prayer was from Bobby Richardson, and I hate to even bring up the Yankees, but it was a good prayer. I liked it. But it was, Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. And maybe sometimes we just need to, I need to just memorize that. Because sometimes I don't know what to pray. And boy, what a prayer to pray. Yes, the Holy Spirit leads us when we don't know what to pray. And he helps us in our utterances, as Romans would say. But boy, what a prayer that when we are just stuck, Lord, where do we go from here? Lord, how are we going to navigate the waters from here in our history? How are we going to do this with the chapel? How are we going to make this work? How are we going to make this happen? And I get myself so wound up and so worried and anxious, which is absolutely against everything that the Lord asks or wants for me. Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Remember when we talked about this, what is the absolute that we see in verse 14? Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. What is the absolute that we see in 14? Okay. Yeah. Nathan was going the grammar way. And he's got to remember, I'm not a grammar guy, so. No. Yeah, the absolute, 100%, your life is but a vapor. Brothers and sisters, we will all die unless the Lord returns. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we are all going to see death. Right? It's inevitable. James is trying to make it hit home here. Your life is but a vapor. Again, what is it worth? Your life is but a mist, a puff of smoke, a vapor. In the large scheme of things, when you're talking to the God of the universe that sees all time at all times, who one day is as 1,000 years, when he sees all of history, your life is but a vapor in that history. But yet on Sunday we talked about it, how important you are to God. James is trying to put this, really nail this point home. How can you be boastful? How can you be selfish in your planning? How can you even say that you think you know what's going to happen? Your life is in God's hands. If he doesn't want me to take one more breath on this earth, I will stop. Period. Do I have any control? We have this illusion that we are in control. And we live our lives, like I said on Sunday, we live our lives like practical atheists. Like there is no God. Because, like I said before, we have everything we need. What is it that should be spoken then? You know, in verse 14 is, what is the absolute? What is unspoken in 13? What is the absolute in 14? What should be spoken then in 15? 15 says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. Remember I said Deo Volente on Sunday. This was literally means, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Our lives are literally in his hands. All the rulers of this world flow like rivers of water in the hands of the king, right? Who am I? I love that song. Who am I that the Lord above the earth should, you know, who am I that he should even care about me? Who am I that, you know, what is man that you are mindful of him, you said earlier. Who am I? If I'm just a vapor, if I'm just dust, if I'm literally, I am dust. From dust I came and to dust I will go, right? It's said in the curse. Who am I? And yet we have to pause here and think about who we really are in Christ. James is pushing the point home of How dare you act like you're in control? Your life is not guaranteed to you for the next second. But the flip side of that is yes, our life is but a vapor, but I am precious in the sight of God. We are precious. We are His chosen. He chose us. He reached out of eternity and reached down and set His love upon you and upon me and care for me. And He sent His only begotten Son to die for me. To bear my burden of sin. And people have the audacity to say, well, there's more than one way to God. Brothers and sisters, why should there even be one way? It's only because of His great love for us, in which He loved us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we went from being enemies of God, Romans would say, to heirs, co-heirs. What a thought. Who am I? I'm a co-heir with Christ. Can you imagine? I'm a co-heir with Christ. I still live like a sinner, but I'm a co-heir with Christ. You know, we have to stop and ask ourselves, are we truly living like we're the Lord's? Are we truly living like those that who say we are bought with a price? Are we truly living like we are His? We are so special to Him, yet are we truly living like that? You know, yes, life is short, it says. You know, what is your life? It's just but a vapor. But someone has said the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. And I think of that, and that could go for anything, but I think of that as a believer. And, you know, I talk to people and, you know, what are you doing for the Lord? I'll talk to 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. Well, what do you think, how do you think God has gifted you? I don't know. Well, are you using your gift for the Lord? Life's too short to waste a moment. If it's but a vapor, it's too short to waste a moment. Are we using our gifts? I know I'm getting off a little bit, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. Are we truly using our gifts and our talents? And life is short, brothers and sisters. Are we truly doing what God has asked us to do? It's sad to me when I talk to people and I don't know. And that's not to say that they're not using their gift, because maybe they are and they just don't know what it is. But brothers and sisters, try and figure it out so you can start edifying and building up the saints all around you. What are we waiting for? What are we truly waiting for? It goes on in verse 16 to what should never be spoken. What should never be spoken? As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. What do I have to boast about? If my life is but a vapor, I'm not in control of anything. I can be snuffed out like that, what do I have to boast about? Not even the faith that I received so that I can believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was of me. What do I have to boast about? All such boasting is evil. And we go on to 17. What should always be done? What should always be done? So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I don't think that's the problem. In other words, I don't think the problem is that we don't know the right thing to do. Most of us in this room know the right thing to do. How do we know the right thing to do? Remember, we talked about that on Sunday. How do we know the right things to do? Yeah, but how? Where? She's holding it up. She's giving you the answer. Say it. Say it. The Bible. Yeah. Whew, man, Dan.
Kill me.
Yes, the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith and life, which I would include God's will in, for us, is either expressly set down in Scripture by good and necessary consequence, and The whole counsel of God's word, God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deducted from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelation of the Spirit or traditions of man. I think that would include God's will as well. We're talking about Scripture. It's completely sufficient for everything that we need. We talked about that on Sunday. Huh? It's vitally important. Can anyone remember one thing? I probably read through 7 or 8 scriptures on Sunday, right at the end. Can anyone remember even one of those scriptures that speak about God's will for our lives? Yeah, your God's will is your sanctification. Right. Yeah.
God's will is wise living.
Yeah. Wise and godly living. Another one was actually mentioned earlier tonight. Yeah. Paul's passage a couple weeks ago. Yeah, so that we know his will, right? His perfect will. There's, again, this whole idea of obedience to the word of God, to the imperatives and the warnings of James, which leads us to the testing of our faith. Anyone else? Yeah. So God's will is, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And again, it speaks in the beginning of that passage of encouragement and exhortation of the weaker brother, continually rejoicing, ceaseless prayer, constant thanksgiving. These are God's will for our lives. But again, these are all out of the word of God. And we can say with the psalmist, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is what should lead us. This is what should guide us. Again, and what's synonymous with the word of God? In all of Scripture, what is synonymous with the word of God? His spirit, right? Right? If you look at all these passages about the word of God and its importance, it's like there's another passage that is almost identical that deals with how the spirit is so important. And they both lead, guide, and direct us in all these things. Say it again. The Son. Yeah. But what was the most important? And no one actually said this. What was the most important part of God's will that has everlasting and or devastating ramifications?
Yeah.
God's will is our salvation. John 6:39-40, and our eternal security. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes on him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. How many reject the will of God with devastating ramifications? Brothers and sisters, that is one part of God's will that none of us can get away from. He desires all men to be saved. I'm not talking about universal salvation. He is a loving God. He sent his only begotten Son, in whom he was so well pleased, to die for you and me. But the beauty of that is that our security in our salvation is his will for us. Our security. No one can pluck them out of my hand. Does anyone have anything that they want to add to that tonight? We're out of time. All right, let's just pray. Father, again, we do thank you for this time that we've had tonight, Lord, just to review some of the things that we had talked about on Sunday, Lord. And Father, we just... Sometimes, Lord, it's easy to talk about these things. It's easy to answer questions about these things. It's easy to think about these things. But sometimes it's very hard to do these things. Lord, particularly when your will for our lives isn't easy. Lord, help us not to choose the easy route. Help us to, Lord, look to you. Look in your word, Lord, so that we know the things that we ought to do. Lord, but help us not to just know the things that we ought to do, but Lord, help us to do them. Lord, help us not to make any plans without you, Lord, whether it be in our personal lives, Lord, whether it be in our marriages, whether it be for our work, whether it be for the chapel here, the ministry here, Lord. Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom from above as we deal with all these things in our lives, Lord. But Lord, thank you also for the wisdom that you gave us in your word. And we just pray that we would be utilizing that wisdom, Lord, on a daily basis so that we may know the will of God, that perfect will of God. And it's in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, most precious and worthy name, we do pray these things tonight. Amen.